position. Oh, this thing's a one, this one alone.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is John Schenck, the filmmaker of the new film, The Island President, a documentary that follows Mohamed Nasheed's first year as president of the Maldives, culminating in the carbon emissions battle at the 2009 Copenhagen Climate Summit. He was a director of photography for the Academy Award-winning Smile Pinky, won an Emmy for Blame Somebody Else, a 2007 PBS expose, and directed and photographed Lost Boys of Sudan, the Independent Spirit Award winner of 2004. And he has been twice nominated for Emmys for his cinematography. Welcome to Background Briefing, John Schenck.
Thank you for having me.
And the film, of course, opens tomorrow at the New Art here in Los Angeles. And your main character, Mohamed Nasheed, who resigned from the presidency of the Maldives under threat of violence from a coup d'etat from the security forces loyal to the former dictator, and the film chronicles his first year in office. But the subtext here, of course, is the fact that this man leads a nation that is disappearing physically, literally, because of global warming.
Yeah, you know, the Maldives is considered by people who study climate change, scientists, as the most vulnerable nation on the planet. It's 1,200 islands in the middle of the Indian Ocean. The islands are, flat pancakes. The highest altitude is about a meter and a half. There are no hills, and they're one of the places in the world where they're already experiencing the effects of the sea level that has changed.
And what led you to chronicling the story of this man? This is an island, a chain of islands in the Indian Ocean, not exactly the first stop on most people's itinerary.
Yeah, Nasheed is just, he's a once-in-a-lifetime guy. He's just an absolutely incredible figure. He's in his 40s now, but he spent, basically his entire adult life working for civil rights and democracy in the Maldives. He's almost kind of like a Martin Luther King type figure. He spent much of his life in prison, and he was tortured by the former dictator. And then finally, after years of nonviolent protest, he and his group were able to force elections, and then miraculously he prevailed and became the president of the country. The story, his backstory alone, is just absolutely inspiring and amazing. But then you add to that this incredible task that he took on once he got to be president, which is that he immediately plunged himself into the international politics of climate change and trying to get attention for the vulnerable countries of the world. And the film itself becomes kind of this David Goliath story. He's a leader of this tiny little country, almost of inconsequential population, 300,000, 400,000 people. And yet he is able to eventually go to Copenhagen and sit down, force himself to position at the table with, leaders of China, the U.S., the European Union, and then actually have an impact on the outcome that happened to Copenhagen.
Well, the nemesis in the film, though, this is that, the hero, if you will, who you profiled in the film, the island president, Mohamed Nasheed, he's fought for 20-year battle against this brutal regime of Mamoun Abdel Gayoom. And, he lost. That's not exactly a happy ending.
Well, yes and no. In 2008, they actually... the Maldivian Democratic Party won, and Nasheed became the president. And then we filmed his first year in office, which largely chronicles his work in the climate arena. That's sort of the through line of a lot of the film. Subsequently, we were releasing the film in the last couple of months, he has been dealt this blow, which is that these loyalists to the former dictator were able to pay off the police and the military and force Nasheed from office at gunpoint. And it is a blow. It is a loss. But, the amazing thing about Nasheed is that you would expect him to, finally maybe, to sort of cry uncle after all these years. But he he immediately stepped back into the streets and is now the leader of yet another democratic movement there. And every day in the Maldives, you see tens of thousands of people on the streets in support of Nasheed and democracy. You know, one thing is that, now that democracy has been flourishing there for a few years, along with that, freedom of the press, freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, young people in the Maldives have really felt these new freedoms intensely, and it seems that they're not going to give them up lightly. So, I think that it's really a story without an ending in a lot of ways.
Again, I'm speaking with John Shank, who is the filmmaker of the new film, The Island President, a feature documentary that follows Mohamed Nasheed's first year as president of the Maldives, culminating in the carbon emissions battle at the 2009 Copenhagen Climate Summit. And what is at stake, though, here in terms of the politics of the island? Is this just a case of a courageous Democrat fighting for justice against a bunch of corrupt thugs, or is there some ulterior motive on the part of those that would support the deposed dictator and the thugs that conducted this coup against the hero of your film? In other words, are there any other outside forces at work here, or is this just really, bare-knuckle local politics?
Well, at the end of the day, I'm a filmmaker and a storyteller, and I felt that Nasheed would be just an incredible story to put at the center of a documentary, and he really proves that way beyond my wildest dreams. He's just just became just this incredible figure during the time that we were filming. In terms of what's going on in the Maldives now, Nasheed was trying to do and continues to try to do a seemingly impossible task, which is that he's trying to bring democracy to a country that has never had democracy. The Maldives has been, sitting there in the middle of the Indian Ocean with civilization for, 2,000 plus years, and they've never had democracy. It's always been ruled by, sultans and kings, and, the latest of which was this strongman dictator, Gayoom, who ruled the country with fear and loathing for 30 years up until the elections in 2008. And, along with that type of autocracy comes just a vast amount of, intricate web of corruption. Businesses that were used to having monopoly deals on things like importing fuel or, other aspects of the economy. And you can only imagine that when you try to undo that with, new tax structures, with healthcare for the population, with transportation systems that would go out to bid to, several different contractors rather than just being given to friends and family. Nasheed was he was tweaking this old guard at every turn, and ultimately they decided they had had enough, and they resorted to their old ways, which is the one thing they know how to do, which is to use, kind of force and to use military might to essentially elbow their way back into office.
But, of course, the irony is, I'm sure it's escaped on these thugs, is that they're all going to go under together, right? I mean, is there any kind of, I guess I'm imposing a kind of an American frame on this because I'm, one's aware of the constituency here in the United States of global warming deniers that are funded by ExxonMobil and other big corporations and the Koch brothers to perpetuate this denial of reality.
Well, I think a couple interesting things. One is, I think that there's no doubt that, the governments of the world, many of which are influenced by economic forces like you're talking about, are just failing to step up and provide leadership on an issue that ultimately is going to impact us all. And I think, another kind of interesting thing about the film is that, Nasheed at one point says, he sort of throws up his arms in frustration and says at one point, why can't we just all, put down this kind of petty, these petty battles that we're having, tribal disputes and economic disputes, and realize that our earth is being, threatened. And you know, it's almost like it feels like an action hero type of movie, and it does at times, I think, feel like a thriller, in the sense that you have a impending kind of disaster that's happening to the planet, and you have a hero on the other hand in the Nasheed character that's trying to wake the world up and to get something done before the ticking time bomb, so to speak, goes off. And yet, as you say, there are just so many kind of what I'd like to think of as just kind of short-sighted, kind of petty things that are working against him, and that includes obviously the financial gain of people that have these companies, and the political gain of people who are in power in various parts of the world. And it's just it's a frustrating thing. You know, it's climate change has been a very difficult kind of issue for people to grab a hold of, because it's abstract in a lot of ways. It's something that's going to happen in the future, and I think the kind of eye-opening thing about Nasheed is that for him it's so real. You know, his islands are already being eroded. He's already very scared about where his children are going to live and his grandchildren are going to live. And so I think when you look into the eyes of somebody who's actually being affected by this, it's much easier in a way to start to think, oh my gosh, you know, these are real people. This is a real place. This is really threatened. This is not a film with charts and graphs and scientific argument. It's a film about people who are seeing something happen, and they're fighting to try to, you know, essentially for survival.
And again, I'm speaking with John Schenck, the filmmaker of the new film, The Island President, a documentary feature that follows Mohamed Nasheed's first year as the president of the Maldives. And the film opens tomorrow at the New Art here in Los Angeles. And it's amazing, though, that you were able to have the kind of access that you had. You'd never get it over here or in most countries, where you literally experience what it's like running a country, you know, and albeit this collection of, 1,200 coral atolls, 200 of which are inhabited, and all of them are slowly being swallowed up by the ocean because of global warming. But what's so haunting about your film, John, is the incredible beauty of the place. I mean, then the haunting music of Radiohead sort of brings it forth. It's spectacularly beautiful. I mean, that, I guess, just makes it even more tragic.
Yeah, you know, when I first saw the Maldives, when I landed there for the first time, I was looking down over these islands, and you've seen the film, so you noticed how gorgeous they are. And I had the thought, oh my gosh, this is amazing. You know, as an American, I've never really seen anything like this. I kept thinking, this is what it was like to, you know, see the Grand Canyon for the first time before I knew what that was. You know, it's that impressive in terms of just how beautiful it is, a piece of nature. And then literally a half a second later, I had the thought, oh my God, they're so fragile. You know, it's almost like an accident of nature that it exists. And then immediately your heart goes to, wow, you know, we need to save these places. And then when you meet the people there, and you meet Nasheed himself, who's kind of the embodiment of that, you know, that passion to want to survive, your heart really starts to go out to, you know, wanting to be part of the solution, so to speak.
But what's so powerful about the film is the contrast between the beauty of this place and the threat of this jewel disappearing. But the film culminates with the Copenhagen Climate Summit of 2009, where you see the worst of Western politics and backroom dealing, right?
Yeah, you know, it's the film is kind of it's a very kind of strange, I think kind of wonderful mix of a lot of different stuff. In some ways, it's a nature film. You get to see these beautiful islands and the ecosystem there. But you also, I think, you know, when we were making this film, actually when we were pitching the film to Nasheed, we were trying to come up with other films that he could watch that would show him what we were trying to do. And we realized that actually there was no other film like this that like you said, the type of access that we were aiming to get and ultimately achieved in the film is just something highly unusual. You're following a head of state around. You're in his home. You're looking at his strategy meetings, in his hotel rooms, and you're in his cabinet meetings, and then ultimately you see him, you know, when he meets bilaterally with other heads of state and other ministers from other countries, and it almost has like a, like you said, it's like you're sort of jetting around the world, and you know, you go in from these beautiful scenes in the Maldives to the back rooms in Copenhagen, and I think it's very exciting. I think it's a very eye-opening view of international politics, and I think that as much as you get to know Nasheed, I think it also helps personalize and make real the conversations that are going on at the highest level. And you do see, like you said, you see that there's a lot of sort of politicking and leaders that are seem less interested in making a deal than they are in preserving their kind of status on the world stage. And so it's just it really lays bare a lot of really crucial issues that the world is facing today.
Well, just in closing, John Shank, how have the people in the Maldives reacted to the film?
We had one of the most meaningful experiences of my life, actually, was taking the film back to the Maldives in November. We did a about a 10-day little mini theatrical run in the capital there, and it was just amazing. The press at that time, Nasheed was still in office. The press was very free, and there was just a lot of reviews of the film, and I think people they were just stunned by it. I think, you know, they had been living under an autocracy where, you know, there was one state-run television station for 30 years, and suddenly they have this film, you know, and they were living in the world of Gayoom was one in which, you know, he would step out in front of the cameras once a week or whatever, and he would wave and read a prepared statement. And then you compare that to the president that they see in the island president, which is a guy who's just a renegade, kind of mischievous, you know, funny, charming character who runs around and he scuba dives, and you know, in order, they did this incredible stunt where they held a cabinet meeting underwater, and he's just he's very human. And so they walked out of it just thinking that they had an incredible leader, and that they were very proud that the Maldives could play the role that it's playing in the climate change debate. So I it was very, really just an incredible moment for me to see how, you know, a film and the media that comes from it can really have an impact on a population.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us today, John Shank.
Thank you very much for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with John Shank, who is the filmmaker of the new film, The Island President, a feature documentary that follows Mohamed Nasheed's first year as president of the Maldives, culminating in the carbon emissions battle at the 2009 Copenhagen Climate Summit. He's twice nominated for Emmys and is a director of photography for the Academy Award-winning Smile Pinky. He won an Emmy for Blame Somebody Else, a 2007 PBS expose, and directed and photographed Lost Boys of Sudan, the Independent Spirit Award winner of 2004. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again on Sunday at 11 with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.
One more light goes out and